brought two Jofer warships to land on the slope of a steaming mountain, far to the south of their original destination. Automatic weapons kept watch for enemies, while the Jofer struggled with their confusion. Finally, as the stunning psychic noise subsided, the crews began to revive and retake control of their grounded ships. The Jofer were almost ready to lift off again and head north to rejoin the fray, when the entire top of their mountain blew away in a column of superheated steam. Chapter 102 Streaker. Jillian stared, slack-jawed, until the grating sounds finally began to fade. She swallowed. Her ears popped, and she shook her head to clear away the numb feeling. Then she saw that the dolphins were staring at her.
"That was awful," she stated. "Is everybody all right?"
Tish looked relieved.
"We're all fine, Jillian. We detected an extremely powerful psi explosion a few moments ago. It easily pierced our shields and seems to have dazed you for a few minutes. But except for some momentary discomfort, we hardly felt it."
Jillian rubbed her temples.
"Must be my Esper sensitivity that made me susceptible. Let's just hope the ETs don't follow that attack up with another even closer."
She stopped. Tish was shaking her head.
"Jillian, I don't think it was the ETs. Or if it was, they weren't aiming for us. Instruments indicate that that burst came from very close nearby and was almost perfectly tuned not to be received by cetaceans. Your brain is similar to ours, though you only felt it a little. The Wesley reports hardly feeling a thing. But I imagine some of the galactics had a rough time weathering that psi storm."
Jillian shook her head a second time.
"I don't understand." "That makes two of us. But I don't suppose we have to understand. All I can tell you is this. At almost the same time that psi burst went off, there was an intense ground tremor not 200 clicks from here. The crustal waves are only now starting to arrive."
Jillian swam over to Tisht's station in the glassy sphere of Streaker's Bridge. The dolphin lieutenant pointed with her jaw toward a globe model of the planet. Not far from Streaker's position on the globe, a small cluster of flashing red symbols was displayed.
"That's Toshio's island," Jillian said. "Then Charlie did have a spare bomb after all."
"Beg pardon?"
Tish looked confused.
"But I thought Dakota Jim had confiscated..."
"Ship rising," a detection officer announced. "Anti-G and stasis, from the same site as the crust tremors, 150 clicks from here.
Tracking, tracking.
Ship is now heading off at Mach 2 due east."
Jillian looked at Tish. They shared the same thought. Dakota Jim. Jillian saw the question in the dolphin officer's eye.
"We may face a decision shortly. Have his blip follow to see where he's headed, and we'd better start awakening the rest of the off-duty crew."
"Aye, sir, those that managed to remain asleep through the last few minutes."
Tish turned and relayed the command. A few minutes later, the battle computer began to chatter.
"What now?" Jillian asked.
Bright yellow pinpoints began to glow up and down a long jagged streak on the globe of Kithrop, starting from the site of Toshio's island.
"Detonations of some sort," Tish commented. "The computer's interpreting them as bombings, but we've detected no missiles. And why this scattered pattern? The detonations are only occurring along this narrow stripe of longitude."
"More psi disturbances," an operator announced.
"Strong, and from numerous sources all on the planet."
Jillian frowned.
"Those detonations aren't bombings. I remember seeing that pattern before. That's the boundary of this planetary crustal plate. Those disturbances may be volcanoes." I'd say it's the locals' way of showing they're unhappy.
Hish queried confusedly. Jillian's expression was thoughtful, as if she was looking at something very far away.
I think I'm starting to understand what's been going on. We can thank Crydike for the fact that the psi disturbances don't affect dolphins, for instance.
The dolphin stared at her. Jillian smiled and patted Tish's flank.
Not to worry, Fem Fin. It's a long story, but I'll explain if we have time. I expect the biggest effect all this will have on us is crust quakes. We should be getting some shortly. Will we be able to ride them out down here?
The dolphin lieutenant frowned. The way humans could change mental tracks mid-stride was beyond her comprehension.
Yes, I think so, Jillian. That is, so long as that remains stable.
He gestured through a port toward the sea cliff that loomed over their hybrid ship. Jillian looked up at the hulking mass of rock visible through cracks in the Thenanin armor.
I'd forgotten about that. We better keep an eye on it.
He turned back to the holo display, watching the spreading pattern of disturbances.
Come on, Hikahi, he urged silently. Pick up Toshio and the others and get back here. I have to make a decision soon, and you might get back too late.
The minutes passed. Several times the water seemed to tremble as a low rumble passed through the seafloor. Jillian watched the blue globe of Kithra. A string of flickering yellow pinpoints spread gradually northward, like an angry wound in the planet's side. Finally, the dots merged with a small group of tiny islands in the northeast quadrant.
That's where Tom is, he remembered.
Suddenly, the comm operator thrashed at his station.
Commander, I'm getting a transmission, and it's in Anglic.
Chapter 103 Tom Orley. He held the microphone awkwardly. It had been designed for alien hands. Tom ran his tongue over his cracked lips. He didn't have time to go over his speech once more. Company would be arriving any moment now. He pressed the transmit lever.
Crydike,
he spoke carefully. Record and replay for Jillian. He'll interpret. He knew every ship in near space was listening to this transmitter by now. Probably a large number were already on their way here. If he composed his new lines properly, he could make sure even more of them came. My direct wire to the ship is broken, he said, and 100 kilometers is a long way to have to carry a message. So I'll risk this new coder, hoping it's not been broken in all the fighting here. That blast was a tissue of fantasies for galactic consumption. Now for the real message. Hidden in context, he had to tell Streaker what he knew.
Jill, our egg hatched, hon, and a zoo spilled out. A zoo of fierce critters. But I came across only one bedraggled sample of the brand we're shopping for. I've heard clues it's still for sale on higher shelves, but those have been just clues. You and H and C are going to have to decide on that basis. Remember when old Jake Demwa took us along with him on that mission to the Central Library on Tanith? Remember what he said about hunches? Tell Crydike about it. It's his decision. But my gut feeling is, follow Jake's advice.
He felt a thickening in his throat. He should cut this off. No sense in letting the ETs zero in too closely.
Jill, he coughed. Hun, I'm out of the game now. Get Herbie and the rest of the data to the council. And those abos, too. I've got to believe all this has been worth it.
He closed his eyes and gripped the mic.
When you see old Jake, hoist a glass with him for me, will you?
He wanted to say more, but realized that he was already getting a little too unambiguous. He couldn't afford to let the Galactic's language computers figure out what he was talking about. He pursed his lips and bid adieu in a language designed for such things. Petals floating by drift through my woman's hand as she remembers me. The carrier wave hissed until he cut the circuit. He rose and carried the radio outside. Carefully approaching the edge of an open pool, he dropped the transmitter in. If anyone had locked into a resonance with the crystals in the set, that E.T. would have to dive for it. He stood there by the pool and watched low clouds roll past, dark and heavy with unspent rain. They'd be arriving any moment. His weapons were at his belt, and his breathing tube, and a full canteen. He was ready for them. He was standing that way, watching and waiting, when the steaming volcano on the horizon began to growl, then cough, then angrily spout bright fireworks into the sky. The bridge was a blur. Jillian's eyes swam, but when she blinked, the tears would not bead and drop away. Her eyes clung to them like precious things.
"Shall we answer?"
Tish spoke softly from next to her. Jillian shook her head. "No," she tried to say, but she could only mouth the word. Telepathically, she sensed the sympathy of those around her. "How can I mourn," she wondered, "when I can still feel him faintly? He is still alive out there somewhere. How can I mourn?" She felt a swirl of movement as a fin approached cautiously and tried to report to Tish without disturbing her. Jillian pressed her burning eyelids together. The tears flowed at last, in narrow trails down her cheeks. She couldn't reach under her mask to brush them away, so she let them lie. When she opened her eyes, her vision had cleared.
"I heard that, Wattasetti. Which way is Takata Jim headed?"
"Toward the Galactic flotillas, Commander, though the fleet seemed to be in chaos. They are boiling every which way after the confusion caused by that psi-burst. A major free-for-all is shaping up above."
"Above Mr. Orley's position."
Jillian nodded.
"We'll wait a little while longer. Go to condition yellow and keep me informed."
Off-duty personnel were called to their posts. Dewesi and Dianidi reported that the engines were warm.
"Last chance, Hikahi," Jillian thought. "Are you coming?"
"Jillian!"
Lucky Ka called. With his harness arm, he pointed out one of the ports.
"The cliff!"
Jillian hurried over and looked where the pilot indicated. The entire mass of rock was trembling. Cracks began to appear in the great wall that towered over Streaker.
"Lift stations," Jillian commanded. "Tisht, take us out of here."
This ends Side 2 of Cassette 11,